Amazing, right? Yeah, goodness. Yeah, I'm up against that now. Thanks for pointing that out, Reed. Yeah, now you got to look at my ugly face and listen to me. Kids are dismissed. So we're going to look at Titus chapter 1 this morning, verses 10 through 16. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. We're going to finish out the chapter. Paul says to Titus, "For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families and by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us and Your word. We thank You that we can know You and know things of this world because You created it, because You've created purpose in it. And Lord, we pray that You just help us to discover the truths of Your word today. Lord, there is only one truth, and that is You. We pray that You have Your hands upon us, Jesus, and be with us. Open our hearts and our minds this morning, Lord. Work among us and in us. We praise You, Jesus, and it's in Your holy name we pray. Amen. So how many, I want to ask a question. How many people are there in here who are just natural people watchers? Like, not creepy kind of people, but, you know, like, you go to Walmart, you know, and you're just watching people, you know, you're observing behaviors and all that kind of stuff, and or you go to the park and you just watch people. Like I said, not because you're creepy, but you're just trying to learn stuff. Like, what are the latest fashions? What are the, you know, like, all this kind of stuff. You're studying behavior and all this, and I don't know, you learn a lot of stuff. Like, there's even a statue made for, you know, people watching. It's actually a thing. This statue proves it. But I want to look at this text. But for a moment, I want to remind you, like what we talked about last week, that Paul asked Titus to be a doctor. Remember the x-rays I put out there, all broken bones? It kind of weirded people out and stuff. But he wants Titus to be a doctor who sets a broken bone back in place. He's saying, "Hey, Titus, the church in Crete, it's broken. And you need to be a specific kind of person to set a broken bone back in place, just as you do need to be a specific kind of person to set a church back in place, right? Like, it takes finesse. It takes gentleness. Like, you don't want to, you know, here, let me get it, I can get it. You know, but you're like, no, you don't want that, right? You want somebody who's good at it, who is careful and respectable, and you want somebody who's professional. The passage that we are looking at today, it's looking at a different perspective. Paul's trying to teach Titus some things, and he's showing Titus from a different perspective, and it's basically through people watching. I've stressed before that we, as human beings, we watch other people, right? We naturally watch them. We naturally observe and look laterally. That way, we can see if, you know, life is, you know, normal, right? To see how we're doing. Like, we make judgments by looking at other people and say, whoa, that's bad, you know? Yesterday, I was actually a judge at Ronan High School for a debate. And how do you do that? Like, how do you tell who's the better one? Because you have to pick one. And I was also a judge for humorous, like solo humorous, you know? So it was one person trying to be funny by ranting for 10 minutes about some play or, you know, whatever they read that they thought was funny. And it was all about how they did and all that kind of stuff. And there were seven of them. And I had to rank them in order of which one was the best. Like, how do you do that? Especially when it's kids. And they go home and say, I got seventh place. You know? But you have to do it. There's got to be a place. So, but like, the whole thing about this is you judge by the collection, right? Like, I looked at the best one. Like, there was obviously a best one. It was hilarious. This kid was talking about, a grandfather. He was a grandfather telling his grandson how the states came to be in the post office. You know, it used to be back in my day we have to write out MASS for Massachusetts. He's like, no more. You know, it was pretty funny. We got rid of that. We abolished it. You know, and it was funny. He won first place. But like I'm saying here, I had to judge based on, you know, the others in their act, right? It makes sense. Like, I can't judge, well, if I have no standard, you know? If I have no standard, what's my standard? My standard in that situation was the collection of people. Which one of them was the best? He was the standard, right? And from them, that's what I judged. I had to make my own standard, basically. But Paul's saying, look at this. He's saying, I want to show you what this looks like in contrast to goodness in this passage that we're looking at. He says, and I want to point out in the passage before I say anything, look at the pronouns. This is pretty interesting. Look at the word they in this passage, and themselves, and their, and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about them, not us, or me, or I, or we, right? I just wanted to point that out real quick. But he's also saying, look at the fruit they're producing. Look at their fruit. He says in verse 10, there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. And the Bible says here that they're upsetting whole families. Like, the imagery behind this is picture a ship that's capsized. What is that? A capsized ship. Your family is upset. What does that create? Chaos, right? A capsized ship, it's chaos. It's destroyed, it's destructive, it's damaging. It's a catastrophe. And Paul is saying this needs to stop. He says in verse 11, they must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. They are destroying whole families by what they are teaching. They're upsetting families by what they are teaching. And we don't know everything that is what they're teaching, but we kind of have a glimpse into what they're teaching, because Paul mentions the circumcision party. And the circumcision party was after Jesus came and, you know, lived and taught and all this kind of stuff. They started to creep back into the works of the law. The Jews, right? The law says, I have to do this in order to please God, right? I have to shave, or look, I can't shave the corners of my beard because I have to please God, like Judaism, right? And I don't know, I have to wear a yarmulke or a kippah, like this little hat, you know? I have to do all these things. I have to wear this sash around, you know, my body underneath all my clothes, and tassels have to hang out. I have to do these things in order to be righteous before God. And this is the circumcision party. They say, I have to be circumcised in order to be righteous before God. And this is what Paul's talking about, the circumcision party. It was a group of Christians who still believed that you had to be circumcised. Like, there was still kind of a work in this. That they had to go through a specific ritual. In other words, the Cretans were teaching the other people that they had to be, they had to do some works. You had to earn your salvation somehow. Do you see how dangerous this can be to a ship, to a family? It'll upset them. Now maybe we can see why Paul just seemed so ticked off, right? And there are people watching. Paul is showing Titus how not to be. He's saying, don't be like that. Paul's describing a person who is the opposite of Christ-likeness. The opposite. They must be silent since they are upsetting whole families by their teaching. Did Jesus do that? Was Jesus always lying? Was he an evil beast? Was he a lazy glutton? Was his mind and conscience defiled? Did he profess to know God but deny him by his works? This is the opposite of what of the picture painted of Jesus in the Bible. And Paul's just trying to teach Titus, you know, this is what it looks like from a different perspective. How not to be. Think about this. If you go through a specific ritual that changes you physically somehow, like whether you wear magic underwear, or like the Mormons, you have to have a clean shaven face, or like the Jews we talked about, you cannot mar the corners of your beard, or like the Muslims, we'll keep talking about beards, that you have to have a shaved mustache. What does that do? Right? In today's world, what does that do? It sets you apart, right? So like, what is that going to do to your attitude? Oh, he has a mustache. He's not a Muslim. Oh, he shaves his face like past the corners of his beard. He's not Jewish. Oh, he shaves his face. He's a Muslim or a Mormon, right? He's like me, or he's not like me. You see what I'm saying? So like, this can give us a sense of pride by doing these things. And this is why it's dangerous. This is why it upsets whole families. Because it sets us apart. It makes us better than them. You see that? And that's why Paul is saying, don't do this. Don't let this be taught. He says in another passage, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. We are all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're Greek or Jewish, or if you're a slave, or if you're free, or if you're a man or a woman. We're all one in Christ Jesus. If something changes you somehow physically, then the people who do not have these physical changes fall short of what you believe. Think about what that does to your attitude towards them. Think about what that would do to your attitude towards them. I'm better than you. This is exactly the thing that he's fighting. I want to show you a parable. It's Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. It says, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes that all of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. They must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families. Like the family unit, you think about it, that's the strongest thing that we have in society, right? The family unit. If we have no family units in society, society dies. We have chaos. So society would then become a chaos. They must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families. This is what Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism does. They upset whole families by telling them that their salvation is determined by how many doors they knock on, by their works. They can earn salvation. It's determined by the things they do. And this is where Christianity differs from these religions. Christianity teaches that you can do nothing at all for your salvation. You can do nothing. You are completely helpless, and you need to be rescued by the Savior. When your boat capsizes, right? Because you're upset, your ship has been upset because of this doctrine. You need to be rescued, especially in a school of sharks, unless you're this crazy lady on the board behind me. That's a giant great white shark. Great white. Like one, that's, she's like a bite, you know, like she's like a chicken nugget to that thing. But think about it. If you're at sea and you're broken, your ship is broken, and there's sharks circling around your body, around your feet. You need to be saved. What can you do? Can you float up out of the water? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if your ship sunk to the bottom of the ocean and you're 6 miles into the ocean? That's what Christianity is. That's what Christianity teaches. You can't do any works. You can't swim faster than the sharks. You're in trouble. And this is what the gospel is, right? We all fall short of God's glory. We're in this giant ocean surrounded by sharks. We fall short of His glory. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is a life raft. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't save yourself. Imagine how many families have been destroyed by false teaching. So Paul says in this passage to silence a brother or sister in Christ who has damaged doctrine. But how do we do that? He says in verse 13, therefore rebuke them sharply. Rebuke them sharply. In order to do that, you have to know what you're talking about, right? You have to know what to say to rebuke them. I talked to a guy in here, in this sanctuary. He was a Mormon. And I rebuked him sharply. I said, we were going back and forth on the correct doctrine of Mormonism. Like, or on the correct doctrine of what the Bible teaches. And he's bringing all this Mormon doctrine into it. Like baptism for the dead and all this kind of stuff. Like, what in the world, you know? They make a doctrine out of one phrase in the Bible. You got to be careful doing stuff like that. And all these teachings, right? And we're going back and forth. And I started, like, my blood started boiling. Because he's not teaching the truth. And he's upsetting families, you know? He's saying you have to work to be saved. I said there's contradictions in the Book of Mormon and the Bible. He was probably surprised because I told him in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 23, it says, for by grace you have been saved after all you can do. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. It specifically says that, not by works. Do you see the contradiction? I said to this man, you better get stuff right. I said, this is their eternity you're talking about. And I said a couple other things, but I won't yell at you guys. seriously. You're like, you know, maybe that wasn't right or something. But the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Right? It's not talking about relationships. It's saying, hate sin as much as I do. God says, hate sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, always, always hate sin as much as I do. See sin from my perspective. If you rebuke someone but you don't know what you're talking about, then what are you doing? Maybe it's like you're one of these Cretans that Paul's talking about. Always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. It's funny that a Cretan said this and that Paul taught, that Paul showed this, right? A Cretan says, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons, right? Paul's showing the irony. He's saying, this guy's saying this basically about himself even, right? But Paul says, now, there's got to be some truth to it. There's got to be some kind of truth to it. You know, it might have been a little bit of a joke of him saying it. This was from a philosopher from 600 BC. His name was Epimenides. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. But he was trying to make a point that even one of your own said that you guys are crazy. Because there must be some truth to it. And the Bible, in this passage, is telling us to exterminate unsoundness. Exterminate it. And in a roundabout way, Paul is saying, he's going back to this, saying, this is why the church is broken and needs to be reset like a broken bone. This is how you reset the church. You make your teaching sound in the land that you are in. You rebuke sharply those who teach false things. I hear some of us here saying to me that your friends and family believe some weird things. And in the same sentence, I hear that nobody says anything to them. And I think this is one of those things that Paul is speaking against. If you can't stand up to your friends and family, then who are you going to stand up to? And my argument is to speak up. This is eternity we're talking about. Eternity. Our soul lives forever. Our consciousness never goes away. Our body dies, but we have consciousness for eternity. Where are your friends and family going to spend it? Where are you going to spend it? If you're letting things be peaceful now because you're letting your family and friends believe lies, I believe that we'll be held accountable. What is God going to say, you know? Like, why didn't you say something? Not that we have to earn it. We're there. Why didn't you say something? I just wanted things to let sleeping dogs lie. Right? Would Paul do that? Would Jesus do that? Did Jesus let sleeping dogs lie? Did any of the disciples let sleeping dogs lie? They were martyred for it. They died. They never let sleeping dogs lie. If there was an issue, they spoke. Don't let damaging instruction destroy your family. And I think, like, realistically, I know how tough this can be. You know, you love your family. And the reason you want to let sleeping dogs lie is because you love them. And you fear these things, like, maybe they won't want to talk to me anymore. But you're their family. You have a right to get up all in their grill. You know what I'm saying? They are your friends and family, and you love them. And this is the whole reason why you should tell them about Jesus, because you love them. Because you love them. Because you want to spend eternity with them. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one, not one person comes to the Father but by me. Not one person goes to where the Father dwells but by me. Make them face the truth. Put a stone in their shoe. And if you don't feel comfortable about your confidence in sharing your faith, let's talk. We have Sunday school here. It starts at 9:30. And I guarantee the people that have been coming to Sunday school, they are more confident about their faith. The people that attend men's groups and women's groups, they are more confident about sharing their faith. And these Bible studies will help you have confidence, because then you'll know what to expect. And this, I want to stress this. This is one thing that I know that I'm here for. I know that God brought me to this place. If nothing else, for this specific purpose. And that purpose is to place a strong emphasis on equipping the saints so that the correct biblical doctrines will be learned and taught in a dark land. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. I figure I'm one of those at least. He gave them to equip his people for works of service. Not because we have to. Not because it's all about karma, like good and bad will get you to heaven. If you have one of them scales, right? Well, your good karma outweighs your bad, so you're good to go, right? That's what we naturally think. But the Bible says that's not how it works. For works of service, to equip his people for works of service. Works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm here to equip you. That implies acting. Equipping for what? Right? This is eternity we're talking about. And we're in this together. And I want you to feel that you can always come and talk or email or text or call. Talk to me about this. If you're having problems in your family about spiritual matters, let's talk. We can work this out. The Bible is the Word of God, right? The Bible, the world was created by God. The world was created by God. Therefore, every problem we have in the world is theological. Every problem, everything that we have in the world is a theological issue. The Bible has the answers. We're in this together. Let's bring light. Let's reflect light, the light of Jesus, to this dark world. Let's pray. Jesus, your word says that you say about yourself that you are the light of the world. You are that thing which guides us in our walk of life. Your word says that you, God, are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. Lord, help us to be a mirror to this valley that we may reflect your light. Lord, bring us close to you. Make us pure. Help us to do what is in our part to purify our hearts. Help us not to be double-minded, as James says, not a mind in heaven and a mind on earth, but single-minded. A mind after you, O God. Lord, we worship you. We praise you and we thank you, Jesus. We pray that you just have your hands upon us in all we do and bring honor and glory to your name. That's what it's all about, to know you and to make you known. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your holy and perfect and strong name that we pray. Amen.
Stand, if you will, for one more song. While we sing this, don't just sing it.
Star.
Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.